This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear. But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Only in theaters June 14. Get tickets now.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
And 8 minutes past the hour, the Rick and Bubba Show. Let's go. As we take a journey through the wacky, wacky world in which we all live. The good, the bad, the ugly. And your phone calls are part of it. We got that working again today. 866-WE-BE-BIG. And we'd love to chat with you today. Will of Meat's in play today. It'll happen today at some point. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy, Eddie Van Adler, they've given you the kickoff hour. Hopefully that's part of your Rick and Bubba experience every day. Eddie Van Adler is settling in. He joins the team as Bubba and I will and move forward. Speaking of Bubba, there he sits, the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the Kang's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome in to the little party we call Rick and Bubba, where we always say, hey, you never know.
Truth.
Ain't no denying
DC talk, Jesus freak. So, Bubba, we'll unpack. We got some stories today, got some updates. You won't believe what I've got for you today. There's this part of my life that is so perplexing and so interesting and so bizarre. And yesterday it went to another level. And tell you what I discovered yesterday's too. You know, we all have this or everybody has their own work schedule, and different days may mean different things to you. It does to me. Usually when I rise up, I'll get there and I'll be in the shower, trying to wake up, and I'll start thinking, okay, today is America's favorite radio show. And then it's, we got this, we got that, then I got that, and I need to do that. And then of course we'll finish that up. And so on Thursdays, we record Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, which we'll tell you about. We've recorded another one, and it was a blast, and we'll tell you about it, and the pun is intended. So on Thursday, there's a very tiny window for you to contact me because as the show's ending, it rolls right into commercials, right into podcast, and then you're pretty much tied up for another 45 minutes there. So they're really on Thursday, which is odd for me. There's about an hour in there that you can't contact me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a lot happened in that hour yesterday. So when you turn your phone back on after the podcast and a text pops up, it led to a story I could not believe.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been guilty of trying to catch you right after the podcast a couple of times. Yesterday, I don't think it was me, though.
No, this was during the podcast.
Oh,
this was someone trying to contact me while we were recording.
Yeah, that's kind of hard.
So it is a doozy. So, and funny. I mean, it is, I just, Oh my goodness! So anyway, I'll tell that one today, and y'all will love it too because it's this ongoing theme with me that I can't seem to overcome, and I've come to the conclusion yet that I mean my world when it comes to this topic, I just live in a bizarre world. Most people in this world don't have the kind of problems I have or experience the things that I do, and it's very very strange. So we got that, and we'll get that one in. I see that even though we're all tired of, I'm talking about sick of it, talking about COVID, this is an interesting update today.
Yeah, CDC's got some new guidelines.
Yeah, and I think this, you know, I it's like you say, Bubba, about our politicians, and I've heard you say it a thousand times, and this is a dig on our own selves because we're not, we're all delusional to a degree.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
But as you and I have said, if you're running – you know, the United States of America, we shouldn't be smarter than you.
Good point.
Right?
Good point.
And you've made that point several times.
Yes.
If you're the CDC, it's like you keep saying things that we say months before you do. If we, you know why? Because you can tell.
Based on the volumes of our research.
How about this? You can tell what the virus is doing by what it does.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been seeing that this has turned into, hey, man, I can't come to work today. I'm sick. Okay. Well, stay home till you feel better, and then we'll see you when you get back. Yeah. And so it's like the CDC is making an announcement like that today, what we've been saying for months. You know why we knew all this? Because you can see it. Like we said, the truth of most everything is what actually happens. have we not all watched what's happened here, and now they're going to come out with this big thing that we've all been saying all along?
You mean the guidelines that we've had for viruses, for right, all viruses,
exactly,
up to this point?
Yeah. Do you remember us?
Not tied into a presidential election?
Right.
So anyway, you mean that one?
Yeah. It's just, and what it is, it reminds you of the great the commercial that we've loved because we've seen it. Some people in some agencies, they're just so arrogant that nothing's official until they say it. Well, you know, we've all been saying this, yeah, but now I said it. So yeah.
The old FedEx commercial.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. I did my hand like this.
I did my hand like that. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys for telling us something we're already doing. All right. 15 minutes past. And we will tell you about the podcast this weekend, but I'll tell you, Bubba, the last couple of weeks, just watching you shine.
Oh,
I mean,
I've been in hog heaven,
from,
Rick.
From Skinwalker to this, ooh. I mean, you have. I've had a good time sitting on your podcast. We'll be back. More Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so we do have an update on everything going on with, hey, the FBI broke in on Trump's house.
And,
A.G. Garland and all this stuff going on. So we have the latest on that, Bubba. You want to play 1A first?
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear it because I did not see it yesterday. Okay. I wanted to, but I didn't see it.
Here's Attorney General Garland saying he did approve of the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Here we go.
Thank you.
Pretty quick, the press conference,
man,
it appeared.
That was as quick as I've ever seen.
That's the wrong clip. That's when he refuses to take questions. Sorry.
Okay.
Hold
that's
on. Right. One second.
Oh, backer.
What am I doing here?
God, hey, hold on. Wait a minute.
God love you. What am I talking about?
God love you. What am I talking about, Garland?
But that was at the end in which he just runs out. I should have just let it run. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Here we go. And here is A.G. Garland.
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Really? Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, again, we have a guy
who
obviously has a conflict of interest with
Republicans because he
was denied a vote on the Supreme Court.
Sure.
So, you know, do people just not ever acknowledge that anymore, that
right,
when they have a conflict that maybe they need to recuse themselves from a proceeding anything?
That day's over.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that would have been the right thing to do.
There was a time when people had more integrity and character and they would have done that. That day's over.
Yeah. So he personally approved it, and we have another clip here.
Yeah.
let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves. I am honored to work alongside them.
We don't need that speech from you. We all know that
easy words.
Yeah, we all know that. Okay, we understand that. We've said that on the show.
It's really not them we're doubting as much as it is you.
We're not doubting them and the job they do away from this. Yeah. We want you to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, the things you're talking about, nobody's complaining about them doing those things. We're glad they do them. Yeah. What we'd like to know
who's against stopping terrorists?
Right.
Other than terrorists.
What we'd like to know is why you did this. Yeah. Why you instructed them to do this. That's what we're trying to figure out. We don't need this condescending speech from you. Okay? Don't act like because we don't like one thing they're doing that now we're trashing everything about them. We don't understand what they do. How arrogant and condescending and offensive is that you'd even think we're that stupid?
But here
we're upset about this.
Here is the bottom line in this. This is an unprecedented raid on a former president.
Right.
It's got to reach a very high level. The DOJ has asked the court to unseal the documents concerning this, and so has President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said maybe we can get to the bottom of some of this. Then, you know, we had to begin with, it was at the I don't know if you'd say the request of the archivist of the that's trying to get all the papers. And then we had reports yesterday it was actually nuclear weapons.
Correct.
So what in the heck, you know?
Yeah, Trump wants the search warrant released so we can all see and so that we can see exactly what is involved in it.
Wait, are they calling weapons of mass destruction again?
Yeah, I think so. I just have a hard time believing that whoever packed up the Oval Office, which, you know, Trump didn't do it. I mean, people do that stuff. That they had nuclear weapon top secret stuff in there, and they just throw it in a box, and it heads off to Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. I need a little more on that.
Don't y'all think though, if we're just sitting here, you know, strategizing on their behalf, they wouldn't do something like this, would they? Unless they had an indictment already ready to.
Let me ask you this.
I mean, because if you're just going in there hoping you find something,
hoking and poping.
Yeah, I mean. What's the deal here?
So I think normal, you would say, yes, I think that's a logical way that most people think. But we also saw the courts allow wiretaps of Trump based on made up information.
Right.
We spent 2 years, no telling how much money, Russia, Russia, Russia. Nobody knows anything that's going on, but one poor guy who's an attorney over there who falsified a document, and they gave him like 3 months probation or whatever. It was a joke. And all that just goes away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you not have undermined faith in this process? Now, as we said, there's a lot of good people that work in these agencies. We know a lot of them, and they are good people.
Do we have to keep saying that?
But the leaders of these organizations are the one who is killing their credibility, not those people.
Yeah. And to your point, Speedy and Bubba, the left is viewing this raid as a win. Just the raid itself, that's a huge win for them. Stephen Colbert's called it. He was like, hey, yeah, we got a present yesterday. It was Christmas Day yesterday because they raided the White House. It's literally what he said. I'm like, my gosh, I remember when he used to be funny. But do y'all want to see A.G. Garland leaving without taking questions?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right, I haven't seen this, but I think it's good.
Thank you.
Attorney General, the former president said this
FBI agents.
Thank you all for your questions. But as I said, this is all I can say at this time.
Sure.
Okay, buddy.
All right, buddy.
He's one of those kind of people, just the minute you see him, it makes you mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know those people, Greg? That's your area.
Oh, yeah.
People, you just their look makes you mad.
Yeah. And that's not fair.
But
yeah.
It's not, but I mean, now. But,
it's true.
But here's the other thing, this one last video we'll look at, and then we'll come back and get into something else, is all this that's being done to Trump, and then all the things we know about Hunter Biden, and then we're going to see video. Trump's getting raided by the feds. Hunter Biden's getting on Air Force One.
Yeah. I'm just going on vacation.
Look, there he goes.
Talking to the big guy.
Talking to the big guy.
Trying to get another deal done.
All the things we've seen and we know about this guy. And yeah, and
it just really looks like there's two forms of justice, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there is. I mean, you're right. Because what you see is
Now I'm starting to think.
What other conclusion can you come to when you know all the things that dirty Hunter Biden has been involved in, and the things that are not even up for debate? I mean, how can you? I would feel a little bit different if you just raid both of them. I mean, if he was just included in it,
right.
You know, and you're saying, "Tell you what, we're cleaning up." And
But Hunter hadn't done anything, and he's never talked to his dad about his business dealings overseas, ever.
Does somebody talk to him about
that? That's what we have to, if we, okay.
All right, yeah, I'm buying. About the optics of it? And go, you know, Hunter, just meet us wherever, you know, meet us on the island.
Why are you worried about the optics when you know there's not going to be any pressure?
It's the arrogant.
I've got the media in my pocket. Right. I've got the DOJ in my pocket. Who's out? If they're with me, who's against me?
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't have anything to fear.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right. So let's go back and finish yesterday. So, drama involving the dog Buddy yesterday at the house. And again, Buddy's life it's been incredible, the resilience of this little dog. It has happened. And it's back to me with these weird encounters I keep having with my pets. So Sherry, when we go to the break, says she hears the dog in duress. She can't see what's going on. She said, as I'm trying to move into view to see what is going on, what happened next was so unexpected. She said apparently he had gotten where he could move away from what was getting him. She said, but what was after him was not done. She said, all of a sudden into my view comes a 7 to 10 pound dog that looks like a stuffed animal being stomped by a deer.
What?
She said, this doe is up on her hind legs and she is stomping the dog.
Wow.
And I mean, and she says, I can't believe what I'm seeing. She said she is rearing up, and I mean, she's coming down like a pile driver. And he's getting hit and getting rolled, and he's trying to get out from under. And
she's hammering him.
I mean, and this is the time of year for us that the fawns are on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So apparently back up there in the left corner, which they've done, we've seen in the past, they'll bed down in our backyard. So she must have been bedded down up under there with a fawn.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the fawn runs the cover when mama's doing something like this, and he went barreling in there like he was.
She said none of that.
And Buddy, and so here's the part that is so odd, and this is what
so
she says to herself. She said, I don't know what to do. Now this is the part where it gets very funny. She says, I don't know why I grabbed a lacrosse stick. She said so I get a lacrosse stick. She goes, the deer that normally, you know, will flee at the minute someone steps out of the screened in porch, you know, they've already knocked my gate down. One of them got spooked, I guess, one time and knocked my gate down.
Yeah.
And she said, this deer didn't care about me, was not afraid of me at all, was not afraid of the dog. And she said, she's not even responding as I'm telling her to get off, you know, stop. Yeah. She goes, so I'm going after her with a lacrosse stick. And I said, honey, please. She goes, then I thought, well, wait a minute. I mean,
you could be next.
I don't think I have enough. Yeah. I'm like, babe, why don't you go get the pistol? She goes, why don't they be shooting up in the neighborhood?
Did you just say, why don't you go get the pistol?
I don't know if I'd be fire on her. Put her on the ground.
It's in the neighborhood.
But anyway, no, Sherry did the right thing. But
fire on her.
Yeah, maybe a shotgun. But then that could just be one of those main things. So anyway,
fire from the porch down.
Right. So that's it. So anyway, so she says the deer will not stop. She is determined to kill the dog. And I can't get her to slow down. She's not responding to me at all. She doesn't care. She said, so when finally the deer thinks he's dead. And she goes, Rick, I'm telling you, Buddy was laying there dead as a wedge.
Not moving.
And she said, and it was traumatizing. It was upsetting. I hated what I'd just seen. I go in, and this is why I'm trying to call you. Of course, I'm recording the podcast.
Right.
And so I finally call your mother, and just I had to tell somebody, and she's like, which was the right thing. Look, go in the house. Rick will eventually get back to you. Let him come take care of the dog. She didn't want to go have to deal with the dog's body and all this. You know what I mean? Let Rick come home and handle all this. Okay? It's all right. So she says, Rick, I'm telling you. Now, keep in times how many times this dog has been in a nosedive.
She goes,
I'm telling you, the dog, but I'm not a doctor, but I've watched the dog be beaten by an animal that weighs probably, I said, what size doe? She said, medium, probably, what, 100 pounds?
That's a big one.
You know, somewhere in there.
Maybe a little more.
Yeah. And she said it wasn't one of these, like, big mamas. She goes, and it wasn't a yearling. It was at medium somewhere in there. And she says, I just don't, Rick, the force, and I've been to the scene, the force of that deer coming down on that dog. And so she says, as she's on the phone talking to my mom, she's obviously upset by what she's experienced.
Sure.
She said, I look out the window, and Buddy is standing there looking at me like, what's up? Did you leave me? And she looks, and she goes, I see the dog. He's alive. And
survived.
She, and she goes,
hey, he looked at her like, woo,
woo. and so
she – barking at her again.
And she says, and I think – well, of course, we all think right now. She goes, he's still going to die.
Yeah, he's beat up.
There's some internal injuries.
He has internal injuries.
Yeah. Them hooves got him.
Right. It's obvious his spine isn't broken because he's moving. He's walking. Okay. He's not dragging any legs or anything like that. I don't want to be graphic, but that's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, so I put him in the car, and I said, what was he like in the car? She goes, oh, he was shook. I said, I bet
traumatized.
He was. So she takes him. Our vet's very close to us. She takes him to the vet, which, by the way, just FYI to all of you out there, the vet says, this is not the first one.
Oh, really?
We've had brought in with being attacked by deer.
It's common.
The fawns are on the ground right now, and they see a dog. That's a coyote to them. If they smell that canine, and no matter how big or with that, I mean, little, they'll stomp the fool out of it. And so so they go in to do an X-ray on this dog. I don't know what it is with this dog. Y'all don't know how close to death this dog's been so many times where I say, well, this is it. I'm starting to sing, hey, hey, goodbye. I'm starting to think about where we're going to bury him, all this. And he'll pull out of it. And the doctor does the X-ray, and Sherry said they were completely shocked. He has no injuries.
What?
I mean, he's bruised.
And his feelings are hurt.
She got, there's no internal injuries. There's no bones broken.
Traumatized.
And Sherry's like, I watched him be stomped. And I'm not saying she connected every time, but she connected to the point he was laying there like he was dead. Like knocked him out. That he got hit. I guess he got hit in the head one time. Or he's so smart he
played dead.
No. I said that. I said, Sherry, do you think this dog, because dog's pretty smart. I said, do you think he's so smart that he finally said, if I'll just lay still, maybe she'll stop.
Yeah, for real.
But I don't know that a dog knows to do that. But it was, she said, no, I think he got knocked out with one of the hits to the head.
Putting him in concussion protocol?
Yeah, right. Can he not play for a couple of weeks?
Five steps.
So I have to then at that point, I said, well, I got to come home and see this dog. So I go and I walk out there and I said, hey, bud. And he just looked at me like, whoo.
Hey, you can believe the day I am.
I looked at him. I said, hey, did you get in over your head? And he's just looking at me like, I made it. I mean, I said, how do you keep doing this? What is it with you? I mean, am I stuck with this? Will this dog ever? I mean, I may have this dog the rest of my life. And so. But let me tell you what was funny. The area he's supposed to go to the bathroom, I said, watch this. I'm going to run him out there. I said, I bet he won't go to the pine straw now.
Mm-mm.
I said, all right, buddy, run on down there. And he looked at me like, you got to be out here.
Did you not hear about what happened?
You think I'm going back to that pine straw? So anyway, based on the assessment at the vet and, of course, hundreds of dollars later after the X-rays and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. That dog is – that's an expensive dog.
Yeah, they all are.
That dog has run up some bills. They think he's okay.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Sherry was like, and I went down there. Hey, y'all.
He was in a fight.
I mean, there's in the dirt, you can just see where she drove her hoofs in, coming down that kind of power and all the pine straw and everything. I mean, hey, it was a mess out there. I found out where I went up to where there were some these trees and bushes where she had got where she was. You could see where her, and you could see behind her where probably the baby was laying too. And I said, buddy, you don't want to.
You don't want to do that.
No.
That was.
No.
She wasn't giving
I've never
ground.
Seen one attack a dog in its yard, but I've seen one battle a bobcat before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of the same format.
It's the same format. Just insert your dog in there.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, that smell to them as a canine, just like the smell of a cat would be a bobcat. You know, it's a different animal when them mamas got babies. And Buddy paid a.
Or when the bucks are in heat.
How does he survive that?
You know, they're.
How does he have nothing
so he
broken?
Have any cuts or anything?
They have. Just they have amazing design that they, you know, they just keep. They keep ticking, man. They just keep going, you know.
Do you feel bad about how you felt?
No. I got to tell you, I'm starting to respect his resilience.
That's what I was going to say. You got to give him credit, Rick.
His resilience. I can't. I really am. I did say this. I said I'm amazed by you, and I think I need to leave you alone because obviously somebody's got a hand on you. Because I can't believe y'all understand this is a list of like 10 things he survived. I mean, but nothing quite like being attacked by a deer.
Yeah,
that was stomping you when you're 7 to 10 pounds.
God, I bet you didn't have to tell him go get in his place. I bet he went and got in his place. Maybe he saw it.
I asked Sherry about it. And she said, you know. We all have, she goes, I'm not a pet fanatic either, but she goes, I got to tell you something, watching
that
nature and action like that, that was a difficult thing to watch.
Yeah.
And that was ugly.
Wow.
Bottom of the hour, we'll be back. More Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so Bubba, last night, Field of Dreams, the game, I love this idea.
I really do. I love the idea. I didn't see it last night,
we had an
anniversary date last night, so I missed it. But I love the fact that they do this, and I hope that it continues to grow. And, you know, with Frank Thomas and his investment group, they, you know, can even make this better. I mean, you don't want to overdevelop it because you need corn out there. But
that's my only concern. I think that the closer you keep it to the original, the better. I don't want it to not feel like that.
Did y'all see what I sent y'all?
Yeah,
looks going to look like.
I just scanned it.
I didn't give it much.
That's okay. I need to spend the right amount of time on. Again,
it's $80 million youth sports complex.
Right. It wasn't my anniversary, but I was living like it was. So I was not all focused on everything that was going on here, but there it is. But again, I don't want to lose that.
We may be overdoing it there.
Every outfield's going to have corn, and you can see how it's separated in the distance up by around 12 o'clock is the Major League Baseball field.
Looks like Disneyland.
And then outside of right field is the maze, and then you kind of go to the original field.
It looks like they're just taking about a square mile and developing it.
Can I tell you who
is that? Is that over? Do they need a little more corn in there?
Well, what metal part's pretty thick,
guys. There's corn too on the outside.
Okay, that's so, what I was saying. It's an outfield.
Yeah, every field,
in charge of the corn.
You can see corn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I tell you who doesn't like seeing this diagram? Cooperstown. They're gonna lose some business. Yeah. It's gonna be now. Take your team to play here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here's right. the good news.
You mean.
Here's the good news. Coopertown will now upgrade.
Or Cooperstown.
Yeah. Them too.
Right.
It's going to have nine fields.
That's the one that actually Coop is building down in South Alabama.
Sells
the
Robert's size Dale.
Right there in the market.
Hey, but you know, one thing that they're taking from there, it's going to have team dorms.
Cooperstown.
You know, like Cooperstown has. They're going to have team dorms, hotel, RV park, trails, indoor hitting facility, nine fields. So
yeah. Didn't you take a team to Cooperstown?
I did not. No.
Well, the people I know who did, maybe that was some other friends of mine did.
I think Garoski did.
And he did, and I think the Watley did. And they're like, the dorms there, you know, they need a little,
they need a little work.
They do. And so I think what I'm saying, the reason why I think Cooperstown has to respond is just what Bubba said, is they're going to have to make their stuff nicer because this is going to be nice.
Yeah. Competition is always good for the consumer.
It is. All right. So, Vin Scully, Greg, you don't have to tell us. We know he's passed away.
I was going
to
say, what did he do last night?
Well, it was a recording, Greg.
Buddy.
And
I got to be careful during this.
I know.
I evidently have some unresolved daddy issues I got to get through because I cried and was emotional last night, and I had not seen this. And this morning I had to cut it off because I got emotional sitting here watching in front of y'all.
You did not?
Did you have
have a haircut when you were being emotional?
Yes, I did.
It's like me watching dogs in slow motion.
Between this and Roy Gleason's story last night, and the Ken Griffey Jr.
I loved him
with his dad, and goodness gracious, just a blubbering away. Yeah,
but when I saw that in the text, that slayed me.
It was funny.
Unresolved. All right, here we go. Here's Vin Scully. Just like came home.
That's a cartoon.
It's one of them.
People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and could be good again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
And then they kick right into it.
They had them coming out of the cornfield last night.
See, the coming out of the cornfield, really to me, cool. The first time last year when you didn't know how it was going to go, it'll be hard to relive that again when you weren't ready for it.
Right.
That's really, really cool. It's a great idea. The one time that I flipped past it after the game was probably I watched the Cubs go up like 4-0.
Okay.
When that happened,
yeah,
that's the moment I saw. Mm-hmm. I love the unis, and when they showed the old scoreboard. And those kids with the garb on, putting up the numbers on the old scoreboard. I love that. I think the more you stay there, that's outstanding. The more you modernize it, I think is a step in the wrong direction.
I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. And of course, some of the other stories in the pregame were really, really neat. I enjoyed that really more than the game.
I did too. To your point, Rick, the Cubs jumped on them in the first inning, 3-0, and I think the score ended up being 4-2. But I was done kind of with that by the fourth, fifth inning.
Yeah.
But the whole pregame, they did a Roy Gleason he had the Moonlight Graham story.
Oh, right.
Where he had only one at bat in the major leagues and went off to Vietnam and never could get back. And then they presented him. He lost his World Series ring when he was in Vietnam. And then years later, they gave him a ring on the field in front of all these Dodger fans. Vin Scully was a part of that. All the guys last night, you know, you had Andre Dawson walking out because you had greats from the Reds and the Cubs coming out of the cornfield with the regular players.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you had Barry Larkin and Andre Dawson and Johnny Bench was a part of it. Johnny Bench was a big part of it all throughout the thing.
Did you squall when you saw Johnny Bench?
I'm telling you, I'm getting teary-eyed.
He added
Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa. Greg.
Larkin didn't do a flip, did he?
No.
Johnny Bench, I mean, he's
74, by the way.
Yeah, and still, I mean, really has his mind. It works well.
It does.
I mean, he was really energetic and a big part of it. He was in the intro, too, where they picked him up on the road. He said he was just looking for a game to watch, and they say, well, here we go. Alex Rodriguez and Ortiz was in there.
When you put together this kind of production, not everything goes the way you want it to, and I'm so thankful that Speedy didn't see one thing at the beginning. Because he has now seen it and it bothered him. But I think we ought to play it when we come back.
Okay.
It has to do with the Griffies.
Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
866 We Be Big is our number. Our website's Rick and Bubba. Spell out the word and.com. Coming up this weekend, Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. You want to get the latest update on the SLS program, the big launch set for August 28th. We talk to the Director of Engineering and Integration, David Beeman, this weekend. So enjoy that wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back for a brand new hour. There's Bill Bubba Bussing.
Rick, glad to be here, and thank all of you for being part of the Rick and Bubba Experience.
Speedy, do you need to leave the room before we do this? Is this an issue for you? You'll be okay?
Yeah, it's just not good.
All right, well, the Field of Dreams game last night, we've been talking about that and all the pomp and circumstance that goes with it and a lot of the emotional stuff. And
It's a cool thing that Major League Baseball has started doing, and there's the whole father-son dynamic to this,
yeah.
Which Greg says is really at the heart of the ghost story.
It is,
and so they're gonna reenact a scene involving Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. Is that what's about to happen?
Correct.
Ooh, the Griffeys, yeah.
and
the kid and his dad,
and so.
Well, that's what he was called, the kid.
Yeah.
And, Junior.
Are you you okay with this,
Speed? Well, there's a couple of things I don't like that I struggle with, and that is, and I know they got to set it up. Hey, guys, here's what we need from y'all. Hey, Junior, ask your dad if he wants to have a catch, you know. And so you can tell they're acting, and then,
Junior looks,
you know, it's kind of a cool, you know, here, son. You know where I go, Rick, the only way to get through this? You ready for this?
Yeah.
How many times in their life have they done this? You know, okay. And so I'm going there.
Well, this is the only time the whole world watched it.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Unfortunately, but it plays out to where, and you'll have to tell the folks on radio what happens.
All right. So here we go.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
So Ken Griffey Jr.
They hated that part.
Asked his dad about the catch.
They hated that.
They're in front of the cornfield. Junior, who's like all of us, put a little weight on. And
he dropped. Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
Evidently like not.
Greg.
Yeah.
Well, the sun was in his eyes.
Daddy, I'd rather have a miss.
Daddy kind of handcuffed me, threw it kind of.
Yeah, Ken needed to put a little more on
into his armpit a little bit, and he didn't know how to turn the glove, and he dropped it. Gosh almighty.
Boy,
he dropped
it. About ruin a moment. We got lines and everything we got to say to each other, and then we forgot about the throw.
So Senior drops the ball.
He does. And
they charged him with an error.
That was bad enough. But honestly, Rick, I was more uncomfortable with can he actually bend over and pick the ball up for them to keep going. And he was able to because he's in his 70s too, and I thought
– yeah.
I wish Junior would have burned him down.
I think he
would have been better off.
I do too. I think he would have caught it if he threw it with a little more velocity. He threw kind of a looper.
It wasn't a great throw.
Well, he's tossing it over.
It's man. Almost
dad,
like
Dad's probably upset. He'll probably tell you, I should have caught that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah. But you wanted.
But this was the big moment right before they walk out of the cornfield.
Oh, man.
And he dropped the
ball.
Is
that supposed to be Ray
Kinsella? And I think, Rick, follow me on this, and y'all are going to make fun of it, I know. But I think what makes this game so popular is just because it always, even if you don't play, it always takes you back to your childhood of being able to just, you know, play catch.
Everybody's had that
or
moment.
Or you play in, or you were your dad, or a family member. Somebody. Everybody's got their own story, and I think that's why this game's so popular.
Yeah, there's nothing like those days in our backyard, you know, I can feel the grass under my feet. My dad telling me to stop throwing like a girl.
Yeah, those are always great.
Or you would throw to Blake and kept hitting him.
Well, we would say.
Yeah, I did do that.
We would ask him to have a catch. He'd tell us, go find your brother.
Right. Yeah,
go find your brother.
Dad, do you want to have a catch? Do you not realize we got a game this week? Go find your brother.
Yeah. See, maybe they should interview y'all.
No. So him dropping the ball, and I have to ask this, Adler, and I know you're about to weigh in on it, is what we see, is that Fox's attempt to even document it? What a terrible camera shot.
That was. You're right. That's a good
point. I mean, are we not looking at that from a different angle? I mean, so why can't we see them?
That's a great point.
They tried to make it look like, you know, you're there through your eyes.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job with that, you can't really see what's happening.
I did. Yeah, because he's in our way.
Now, you got to understand, it is widened out a little more so you can actually see.
Yeah, right.
Y'all correct. Well, never mind.
But he drops it. So this was live in front of an audience, too?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's thousands of people in the stands.
Oh, no.
This is how they started it.
This is how they started the game, Adler.
Yeah. After this, the players walked out of the cornfield, and then they sang the national anthem.
Oh, no. That makes sense. You can hear the crowd go, oh.
That's Ken Griffey. Sorry, Ken Griffey. I just love Big Red Machine.
Oh, Big Red Machine. You know, can't have Ken Griffey come out and drop the ball. A couple of rough stories here. Number one, which you've probably seen this update or heard it, unfortunately, is it Heich? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Heich. The actress, it looks like she is not going to survive. Her life support is going to be turned off, and they're working on the organs to check and see if they're viable for donation. They did say, unfortunately, too, they did find her testing that she had been on some sort of drugs, and we know there was you know, the bottom line is she did not have her faculties when this horrible crash happened, and they were altered. So she is not going to survive, and they have turned off life support. So that's the update on that one. And then these two, I mean, I look at Speedy, and I'm like, Speedy, you know, this is Friday.
I'm sorry.
They
just jumped out at me as, my gracious.
Well, you know, you think about all the different ways that you can go, and you know the one that I'm hoping to avoid, if the Lord is gracious, that I would be eaten by an animal. To me, that's the one I just want to avoid if I can. Right. These two may get on the list.
Especially that one.
We have one, unfortunately, in Pennsylvania. A teenager, sadly, has died after getting pulled into a wood chipper.
That may be on the list of
that's got to be pretty high on the list. Wood, that and eaten by a great white.
Yeah, wood chipper grabs the clothes. I was thinking that you would go pretty quick, but then we started thinking, once it's got your clothes, you kind of realize there's probably a struggle, and then you realize, I can't get away, and the fact that I can't get away, guess what's next?
Yeah. The 5 to 10 seconds of I'm trying to get out of my clothes, or pull back.
Not a quick – I mean, it's – yeah, you got time to think about what's happening.
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
That's awful.
Yes, that's terrible. So
he was actually rushed to the hospital via helicopter.
Yeah, didn't make it.
Yeah. And died at the helicopter. Had multiple traumatic injuries.
Loss of blood.
I didn't know that.
They stop it. Oh my! And then the one I didn't expect. I've worried about this before. Watching things on the beach with these big umbrellas. It's one of those things that it seems like this was always going to live in the category of, hey, man, I tell you,
you got to be careful of them things blowing around out there.
But now it's happened. You know, I always thought it might, because some things make the list of, I can't believe nobody's ever been killed by one of those.
Right,
and then all of a sudden it happens. And unfortunately, again, this is in South Carolina. A woman has been killed on a South Carolina beach by an umbrella that got caught in a gust of wind and impaled her.
Mm. Wow.
Because you know
you have to put that under freak act.
Well, because you know they have
maybe
to have
your time to go.
They've got a sharp edge on them to get down in the sand.
Yeah,
but at the speed, sometimes the gust of wind start taking those things down the beach. I mean, you just didn't see that coming.
No, we were talking about this earlier. We've all had things get away from us in the wind, but normally it's end over end and it settles down. But this has to be. Like be trucking. I mean, in other words, it has to be a pretty big gust of wind.
Yeah, it happened at 12:40 p.m. Right after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
She was 63 years old, hitting the chest.
Terrible.
Mm-mm. That's
good gracious, alive.
Goodness. I'll take that over the wood chipper.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
the wood chipper.
At least
maybe.
I got a good view. I got a really good view, and I'm just gonna kind of lay there and.
Yeah,
go peacefully, I guess.
I mean, I don't like either one.
No,
wood chipper's up there with getting eaten by a shark.
I think I'd rather get a shark. I'd take great white over wood chipper.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would too.
100%.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm dying either way.
Hey, I can poke the great white, and I can't poke the wood chipper.
Well, you're not surviving either one of them.
You can fight back against a great white.
At least I feel like
I can't fight back against a wood chipper.
But I'm not surviving.
No, you're not surviving either one. That's why I picked the impel. On the beach, because then at least while I'm going, while I'm dying, I can look at the water one.
Yeah, but
last
time. You're like, oh, an umbrella's in me.
Yeah,
you're thinking about it.
You don't go quick.
I spent a couple of years working around wood chippers, and I'm gonna tell you, I mean, I used to look at it and think, ooh, ooh, because I'm old blazing.
You know what it's designed for, Greg?
A wood.
Yeah, taking trees and
turning it into sawdust.
Now, I have lost a glove getting yanked off of you.
I tell you though,
and you let her go.
But imagine if it was still, and you couldn't get it off.
Oh, I know. Mm.
Well, I tell you one thing: if it would grab a hold of me, it's gonna make a noise it's never made before.
Now they will choke now.
Well,
you got to get. They got a big clutch on side.
I bet I could choke one down.
Oh yeah.
Which is bad because now I'm maimed and I'm slowly going.
Yeah.
Well, more bad news. Greg, this may affect you more than us.
Wow.
Have y'all seen all the shortages? You know, we're having supply here in the country, problems.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all over the road. Medical dye.
Oh, yeah.
We got chip shortages, school bus driver shortages, egg shortage, teacher shortage. I mean, you name it.
Oh,
we got
a
shortage.
We got a shortage.
Common sense shortage.
There's a big shortage on that one.
Mm-hmm. Logic shortage.
There's now a CO2 shortage. Oh, no. It's threatening one of America's most beloved consumer sectors, beer making.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Pass.
Hey, Rick, we just went to DEFCON 2. Give me the president on the horn.
Just ask for Hunter.
A crisis in the supply of industrial carbon dioxide has created chaos in the American craft beer industry. It's pretty concerning, said the guy who is the founder and CEO of Urban South Brewery in New Orleans. They're just having problems getting this, and this is a key component of being able to make beer.
Brewmasters everywhere are panicking.
It's affecting the smaller brewers first, but it could trickle up the...
Oh, not the micros.
Yeah.
The micros first ones out.
Micros are first to go.
Yeah.
Do you think, Greg, I'm going to ask you this because this is your expertise in a couple of areas. I'm not talking about this, that. You know, you're the guy. Really, if we come to you on a ruling,
well, you know more information.
Well, also, if we come to you on a ruling,
this is a craft
in society. If we come to you on a ruling, also, is this somebody trying to be sharp?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I hope everybody understands what Greg means when somebody's trying to be sharp. Yeah. It means there's no sincerity on this.
No,
they think they're supposed to feel this,
and they want everybody to go, "I see that." Yeah. So I'm going there.
Do you think some of these people that pretend to like microbreweries have done it because they think that's sharp?
Absolutely,
I knew it
because I'm a little bit above you. You want to drink a Bud Light? Ugh.
Right,
I'm drinking IPA /50.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even know what time I made that.
No, that's why he goes to you, Greg.
That doesn't mean anything. I just made it
but
up.
No, I've seen that attitude. That
sir. There's snobbery in that.
Yeah.
The micro brewers are saying that they historically have paid about 6 cents per pound, but now are paying over 20 cents per pound if you can get it.
I mean, just look at that list, and we're adding this to it now. I didn't know there was an egg shortage.
There's
egg shortage.
Because
it's on the list.
I think there's a lot of shortages because there's transportation shortage.
Yeah, you got to move them eggs.
Because everything you talk about, the common denominator is we got to get it to you.
Yeah.
I tell you who doesn't have an egg shortage. These people that keep being in neighborhoods and having chickens.
That's where we get ours.
They'll drive you nuts to take a carton of eggs.
Oh, yeah. That's bad as you were with that garden.
Let me say this. If you have chicks in your backyard and you're going to have chickens, be sure that you secure your chain link fence that they can't get through it, especially if the neighbor has a dog.
Yes, because you just lost your chicken.
Yeah, and
I heard
it is a good egg.
Most interesting story about that. I don't think we told it on the air, but when a prize dog that's trained to fetch birds in the field.
They'll get them.
When they come up to greet you and all you see is two little chicken legs sticking out of its mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're so happy, they're just wagging their tail.
Look at me.
Well, they got a good one, you know. I will tell you this.
It's a little tougher to catch than I'm normally getting.
Yeah. Don't wander beyond the chain link fence.
Well, we had some neighbors behind us that tried chickens. It. And they gave us an update on how many things kill chickens.
A lot of things.
Hey, you know what finally took all theirs out? Birds of prey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't get something over the top, the hawks and the owls, buddy, they take them out.
And so, everything.
Rick, I saw a hawk try to grab a rabbit the other day.
Did you?
Yes, a little closer to me than I wanted.
Was it successful?
Huh? No, it missed, and the rabbit got in some bushes. But the hawk decided to take up on a gutter and watch for a little while.
Yeah, I bet you got to come out sometime.
Here, bunny.
Phone call
is coming.
Phone calls are next. 866 We Be Big. All 10 lines are available.
Rick and Bubba.
All right, so as we make our way back, we did have this story, and this is, you know, we just talked yesterday about certain names you got to look out for, and always kind of have an eye on anybody who has is still retaining the more childlike version of their given name, and they haven't moved on to the grown-up version. And we warned you that Ricky's it could be a problem. Not when they're children, but if they're still in their 40s and they're still going by Ricky, you got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
And so we have one here. Ricky, is it Schiffer, Bub?
I'm going to say Schiffer, S-H-I-F-F-E-R, 42 years old, was shot dead by police after attempting to breach the FBI Cincinnati's field office.
Not a good idea.
After his failed attack on the office, he fled the scene, prompting a chase and a five-hour standoff. He foreshadowed the attack in a series of posts online Tuesday. He said he was proposing a war and called on his followers to be ready for combat. and kill the FBI on sight.
Oh,
Schiffler attended the January 6th Capitol riot and had ties to extremist groups, including the Proud Boys, according to this story.
Well, he called it. If y'all don't hear from me, I tried attacking the FBI. Apparently, he's never heard the song "I Fought the Law and the Law Won."
Yeah.
But not a good idea. This is not the way to go about any disagreement you may have with the FBI. You don't go armed and try to attack one of their offices.
No, he was.
You'll end up dead.
Yeah, he was supporting body armor. An assault rifle attempted to break into the agency's office. They said he fled the office and was chased onto a highway before abandoning his car by a cornfield on a county road just off Interstate 71. He was shot dead by police Thursday after he raised a gun toward an officer around 3 p.m.
Not a good idea.
According to the Ohio State Police.
Not a good idea. And I will say some of these people, they're everything that they're trying to accomplish, they really only hurt their cause with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or the things they wish or hope for or whatever. So so Ricky Schiffer fought the law and the law won.
Mm-hmm.
And down goes Ricky. So he is no longer with us. As Paul Harvey would say, he was 42.
Yeah.
We also have this Marshawn Lynch. Did you have this from yesterday?
Yeah, I saw where he was detained on suspicion of DUI, and they had to get him out of the car and wrestle him down, which we all know is no easy feat, by the way.
So we have video 7 on this today. This is in Las Vegas. Yeah, I mean, so suspicion of DUI, has it been confirmed yet or anything like that? But I'll tell you what you don't do is you don't.
I think that's why they initially tried to stop him.
I know these officers are professionals,
mm-hmm.
but they are human too.
Right.
I mean, I remember, you know, I go back to, you know, remember when Tiger Woods was pulled over.
Yeah.
The officer has to be thinking, wow, so that's Tiger.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's someone has to think, wow, that's Marshawn Lynch. Oh, my goodness.
Especially when
I'm rationing Marshawn Lynch.
So here's the thing, okay? I'm not going right now, if you don't get out of the vehicle, you're going to be charged with obstructing an investigation. That is a criminal offense, and you will go to jail.
What kind of obstruction?
Obstructing.
What kind of obstruction?
Yeah, we're not going to explain. There's not different kinds. There's only one kind.
Explain it to me.
Okay, because I've already explained it to you.
Because I'm
failing to obey a command by an officer or lawful order is obstructing. So this is your last chance. Step out of the vehicle for us.
Everything is understandable.
Okay. So if you understand, go ahead and step out for us.
Is why will I not be pulled out?
Here we go.
And here we go. Oh, and here comes Marshawn Lynch.
Go to get on your stomach.
Roll over.
Yeah.
Hands behind your back.
They drug his pants off of him. Well, did you see, though, what they're saying is they're almost going, come on, man. Don't make us do this. Don't put us in this situation. Get out of the car. And of course, he sounds like he's probably a little
lit,
intoxicated.
He had a few
from something.
Something. He might have just. Who knows? Drilling one of them good ones.
You never know, Rick. Mm-hmm.
But he sounds like that he's under the influence of something.
Yeah.
And they try to explain. You hear over and over again. Don't make us do this. Just get out of the car and let's assess. If we assess you. And you're fine, then you'll be free to go.
Sure.
But if you're not, then you know we're gonna have to go. And when you tell the police I'm not going anywhere, and then you see that.
Well, again, so many of these problems that we have, if you will just do what they ask you to do,
right?
And then if you have nothing to hide, I think you're going to be okay. But you know, when you resist for whatever reason. It's going to get more complicated and possibly more and more dangerous.
If he was going to get something to eat, you would think he would have called Uber Eats. I mean, doesn't he do commercial for him?
Yeah.
I mean, what's he out doing? I mean, you know,
right. Yeah.
Surely these folks that have, you know, financially are in a position where they can be taken care of, they would make better decisions if they're,
well,
you know, have somebody drive you or a service that can get you to and from. What are we doing?
Well, where all goes downhill is there's always the delusion of I'm not that bad off. I'm perfectly okay, and I'm perfectly capable of getting to and from wherever I'm going, and that's always delusional. Just the mm-hmm. just the smallest amount of being influenced by any sort of drug or alcohol really hinders your reaction skills.
Yeah, let's face it, you need all you got.
Right, yeah.
As it is out there. Yeah. And apparently he was swerving or something for them to get his attention. So, I mean, for them to, you know, be alerted to it.
They said that he was swerving down a dirt road, driving like George Jones. And so they pulled him
over. Reminiscing on good times.
Right. Got me rolling down a dirt road.
Lead back.
Got me swerving like I'm George Jones.
By the way, before the break, if you guys want it, somebody sent me the video of the wood chipper test with the dummy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were talking about. It's real quick if you guys want it.
Look at how quick this thing goes, guys.
So they have the dummy here, and they have a rope, a climbing rope, attached to the dummy, and the rope is in the wood chipper. And once it gets going, it's just unbelievable.
It really is. Hey, now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, just.
It's over quick, Helms.
And how heavy was that dummy?
More than I thought.
Let me check.
170 pounds?
Like a person.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess if the wood chipper doesn't sense resistance, it speeds up, right? Getting ready for whatever's coming in it. And boy, it pulled that dummy through there. It looked like it's 70 miles an hour.
Definitely want the umbrella now.
You're back to the umbrella, aren't you?
That or a shark.
Top of the hour. If you have you're ending your day, enjoy the weekend.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
We've got, have you seen this audio and video that Adler's got for us today? That is an art school professor. And of course,
so he just had enough of it.
He had had enough at the University of the Arts, and he's just saying, you know what?
It's a she.
Look, she or he. Here's the thing. This is the thing about the overplay. I'm going to imagine that this art teacher was probably saying, look, you know, people have got their lives, and you know, and I, you know, want people to feel good about themselves. But when any group just continues to overplay their hand, and you give them one thing, they say, well, now we want this, and then we want this, then we want you to say this, we want you to hop on one foot while saying this, we want you to say this word backward, here's a word we just made up, but we demand that you say it, and if you don't do these things exactly the way we want them done, then we're going to make sure that you never have a job again.
Yeah.
And so here's, now keep in mind, this is not a PE teacher, this is not a conservative teacher of history. This is not, you know, the coach of the football team. This is the art teacher, our professor, because it's a college, University of the Arts. And so here is Dr. Camille, not sure how to Paglia, who is a speaker, writer, and professor at the University of the Arts, talking about forced pronoun use. It's from 2017, but for some reason it's gone viral this week. So she was already done with it 5 years ago. But
you're talking about FPU?
Yeah. Is that what it means?
Forced pronoun use.
Yeah, there you go. So here we go.
To change everyday common speech, are you kidding me? Okay. All right. People shouldn't be putting up with this for 1 second. What kind of nonsense is this? Absolute nonsense. Okay. And these people who are searching for their own identity, okay, and want to impose on others, that is not my philosophy of the libertarian. That is an invasion, an intrusion into other people's personal rights. The English language is owned. Okay, by everyone. Okay, it was created by great artists, Chaucer and Shakespeare. You know, and Wordsworth and Joyce and so on. How dare you, you sniveling little, maniac, tell us how we're going to use pronouns? Go take a hike.
Sniveling little. She's, you can't.
Mike's a good point.
Yeah, you can't go around telling people how they should
especially
use
when
English.
The rules change. Like, what's her face? Some celebrity the other week. She's running back and forth between pronouns. Yeah. You don't know what's what.
Right.
My goodness.
And it just borderline. And here's what I would say. Here's what I would say with given mob that you're part of, when you play the card as far as this is being played now with pronouns and Thursday I want this one, then next week I want a different one, and all this kind of stuff, people stop taking you serious because it comes across as silly. It becomes childish, silly.
I think we passed that point a long time ago.
Yeah. Sylacauga, Alabama.
The Cog.
Alan is standing by. Alan, thank you for your patience. If you want to join us, you can at 866-WE-BE-BIG. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, they had that raid on Trump the other day. I heard a guy comment earlier, but everybody was asking, what do you think they found in that safe? And, you know, and everybody was talking about, well, they might have found some evidence or something that Trump was hiding or whatever. But I think he might have been hiding something they could have used against the Democrats, and they wanted it.
Could be, but the problem.
Interesting.
What you think, Greg?
Yeah, well, the problem with that, though, is that now they're kind of saying they're going to show everybody, and Trump said, yes, please go ahead and show it. Wouldn't they be walking into a trap by doing that, though?
It may be, but maybe they don't want to show what they found.
we'll see. We'll see.
There wasn't anything in the safe, right?
No.
Nothing in there?
Got some bad advice.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
no, they toted out a bunch of boxes.
Yeah, but they
got a bunch of paperwork.
Yeah, but that wasn't in the safe. But we could use your same analogy toward the boxes. Yeah, but the safe they said was empty.
Now caught him in the underwear.
Well, and the problem though with the safe being empty, though, and I'm not trying to draw two lines though, is that Hunter Biden was in there before they got there. So the place may have been robbed. I don't know. And by the way, he's just sitting right there on Air Force One.
He's up there in the front.
Bubba,
he's up there with the big guy.
Yeah. Bubba, do you have any interest in seeing a Gus Nato at a softball game in Decatur?
Where's that happen on
Saturday, August 6th.
Oh, dirt dump.
Now, I did see the – we haven't looked at the fire tornado. We had
got a fire tornado
that we didn't
too.
Get to yesterday.
That's terrifying, too.
Let's look at all the Naders.
Okay. Let's start.
Light them up.
We'll go to eight, and we'll do A and B. First, this is going to be at a softball game, and I saw Span putting this out. You know, Span – he'll put a picture out in a video to drop the hat.
Yeah, he's been known to post.
He has.
He likes that bear down there in Saraland.
Boy, he does. Here's
that is good footage.
Here it is. Watch this right here. Greg?
Hey, now.
Bubba?
Good night. Here it comes.
How about that?
Roll up.
Yeah, come on. Hey, yeah, baby!
What if the ump said, time out?
How about the guy, the pitcher just got swallowed up by it?
What if the umpire, right as that clear, went, strike!
Yeah!
Look at it. Now it's clear as a devil.
Yeah!
That's a big old dust devil.
That was a big one. Wow. For a minute, I thought they were standing there at a runway on an island.
I could almost feel the dust hitting me watching that.
I closed my eyes.
My nose is running from the dust.
Oh, wow. Have we got time for fire tornado here? I know we got about 40 seconds. Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's fire tornado.
Not fire nado.
Yeah.
And this was in California, some of the wildfires going on.
Yeah. Okay, buddy.
Look at the tentacles.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah, nice.
It's wow. It's dust devil with a fire out of control. I mean, that is a fire nado.
Look at that thing.
Wow. That's one of the – wow, that is a tornado.
Look how it's pulling all of them.
Oh, man.
That's what they do, Greg.
That's how they do you.
That's how they get you.
That's it.
It's like Sharknado. Wow.
That's next. We got a Sharknado.
Where's the Sharknado video?
Yeah, man.
And now a Sharknado.
That's impressive.
Well, the fire gives a whole new look.
Yeah,
that's scary. I don't like the way that looks.
No.
That looks like Hades.
Dante's
looks
Peak.
Demonic, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does.
That's
a
good movie, by the way. Dante's Peak.
Isn't it bad?
Greg, how about this? I didn't know this. They said, no, that's actually a shot, something they found underneath the Capitol.
All right.
We'll wrap it up. Don't forget Rick and Bubba University, the podcast this weekend. David Beeman will be with us, Director for Engineering and Integration for the SLS program. The big launch coming up on August 28th. That's when it's scheduled now, and hopefully the weather will cooperate. To the phones we go. And Mike's going to get us started. Mike's in New Jersey, and always fun to catch up with Mike. Mike, welcome to the Rick and Bubba Show. Go ahead.
Hey guys, what's going on?
We're good.
Hey, two quick questions for you. First one is the FBI. Let's just say today they come out say, hey, we found this on Trump, we found that on Trump, who's going to believe them?
That's a good question. The credibility, sadly, for these organizations, the Department of Justice, all the way around, they've lost their credibility, and is sad.
They've got caught a multiple times trying to screw this guy.
No, you're right.
Everybody knows.
You know, I know in their mind, they're trying to do this by the book and all the extra steps, but I think if you're going to raid somewhere like that, the officers who go in and get the boxes ought to find something on the spot and come out and show the cameras and go, here's what we're looking for. You know,
yeah.
It's like the longer it goes on, the more they have time to like doctor it or, you know, plant something or whatever. But, you know, I certainly want to have confidence in the FBI, and I do. Some of their leaders, I don't know.
Well, to Mike's point, there's one way for people for the confidence in you to remain is stop letting it be revealed that you weren't straight up. You got things like you got stuff you're doing that isn't real. That hurts. Mike, anything else?
Yeah, just a quick question for Greg. Greg, why do you think that they have never went through Michelle Obama's underwear drawer?
What are you doing to us?
Look, we're too late in the hour for that.
I'm going to take the fifth on that just because you can't say anything bad about the Obamas.
That's right.
Even their underwear.
Athens, Alabama, Kathy standing by. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, how are y'all?
We're great.
Good.
Speedy.
I heard your conversation earlier about the Field of Dreams. Have y'all ever been to a vintage baseball game?
No, I have not.
My husband and I went, we did a package deal for Father's Day weekend. They had a vintage baseball game. They wore authentic uniforms. It was like from the late 1800s. They play with no baseball gloves. They have no balls. They call no balls. Everything's a strike. Oh. 40 or a hit. They had the final score was like 40-3.
No gloves.
It was absolute. No gloves. They play just on a field. They put the bases out a certain distance. No lines, no lined off on the bases. The umpire, all he ever calls is if there's a dispute. If the two teams can't agree if the ball was a foul or not, the umpire comes in. Otherwise, they have the old-timey scoreboard. They have teams in Kentucky and Indiana. We saw them in Kentucky. And it was the neatest thing. We thought we would stay for just a little while, and we ended up staying for the whole game. They play just on an open field. They told us that's the way they like to play. And the ball would get hit in trees, and it'd be like Plinko. You know, the ball would bounce around. And if they caught it, it was an out. And if they didn't, they'd throw it to the bases.
That's crazy.
That does. That's Abner Doubleday.
You say vintage. School. You mean
I'd
vintage.
Like to watch one, by the way.
Greg,
stop it.
I mean, I'm not going to go far, but if I happen to be driving by and I went, look, there's a vintage baseball game.
Well, you got a big old field. They can play outside.
They could have it out your
there. You go.
Huh?
They do that.
Build and they will come.
Girl. Pleasant Valley Pirates.
Sean's in Prattville. Sean, go ahead.
Great show, gentlemen. I hope y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Yesterday when y'all were talking about the IRS, and I started thinking, how could I work for a place where I have to pay to work there? And if you think about it, why would you want to get paid to chase other people who owe other people money? But then again, at the end of the day, half your income goes back to the IRS to work there. It don't make sense.
That's a tough one.
Well, a lot of off days.
Who you mad at?
A lot of off days.
Mickey and Pelham. Mickey, go ahead.
Hey, Bubba. This is Mickey Dunaway. We used to hit together back in the day at the club.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Stony Brook.
I'm good.
Stony Brook.
Back with the 87,000 agents that the IRS is supposed to add, there's 3,143 counties in the continental U.S., well, actually all 50 states. If you divide that into the 87,000 agents that are added, it comes out to 27 agents per every county in the United States.
Wow. That's a pretty big increase.
It's
doubling their staff and doubling their budget is what this bill is doing.
Wow.
Guys.
Good night.
Mm.
Well, that won't look different.
I got two words for that. Hey, thanks. Let's go.
That number, that's a big number.
Eric in Pensacola. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Thank you. You too.
I just wanted to give you a quick story, and I promise I'm not trying to be sharp.
Oh, here you go.
Me and my wife were watching one of the cheesy TV movies a couple months ago, and this lady and man were going out. And the lady was sitting at her makeup counter, dressed to the nines. The husband walks in a $2,000 suit and gives the best line of the whole movie. Honey, I've made reservations at Topaz.
No, he didn't say that.
I promise you he did. I started laughing. My wife started laughing. I couldn't believe it.
Reservations at the Topaz.
That was it.
You ever thought of
that?
Maybe
that was
Topaz.
It.
You might want to consider trying a little Topaz.
Yeah.
Let's go to Christy in Decatur, 100.3 The River. Christy, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Christy.
I'm from Birmingham originally, but from personal experience and trauma, I think over between the wood chipper and being impaled, I think I would rather choose the wood chipper.
No.
Have you been impaled by an umbrella?
I haven't been impaled by an umbrella, but
just a personal experience.
38 years ago, I was in a terrible, terrible wreck. Yeah.
Told you.
At the age of 16.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Told you.
Sorry about
that. In Center Point.
Oh, boy.
And the adrenaline kicks in. You're injured. You don't feel a thing until we got to East End Hospital and I was being sewn up.
What? Truthfully, I don't want either one of the scenarios.
Yeah.
I had to pick one.
I got to know what it was. What went through you?
Oh, do we?
I got to know. What impelled you?
What impelled me?
Did you have anything impel you?
No, nothing impelled
me. Okay, you're just saying when you're injured really bad, you don't know anything no matter what the injury.
I
got you. Okay.
Yeah.
I understood.
A 73 Catalina pulled out in front of me, and I was in a 78 Chevette going the speed limit, which was 50, and it was on Friday, July 13th, 1984.
Oh, you ain't going to remember that. No, you'll never forget that. So.
No, you won't. You won't. On Center Point Parkway, I was babysitting a five-year-old. And a guy pulled out in front of me, and I T-boned his left rear fender.
Mm. Wow. Well, Christy, we're so glad that you're here to make this call today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, used to drive a Chevette.
But I've always, it is interesting how the body and the brain works. And it gives you some, hey, we're going to protect you right now
because
it's real bad.
Yeah. Don't look.
But then eventually.
A lot of times, you forget the memory altogether.
I still don't want to think about a wood chipper.
Yeah. I don't want to think forward to a wood chipper.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't even like being as close as it on that screen.
I know. When I heard it go,
I didn't like watching that dummy go through there at all.
Oh, no.
Have a good weekend if our time is up. If not, stick around.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.